the sideline. Touchdown.
And he looks the other way and it's intercepted.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Inside the five. Watkins to the end zone.
Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Rams with another touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
An absolute disaster in Tennessee. The Titans win the game over the Kansas City Chiefs 35-32. Harrison Butker's 52-yarder looked like it was blocked at the end of the game there. I know we're going to want to get your phone calls in, 913-576-7610. Protein House, you the purpose text line, 69306. Patrick Mahomes, in his return, goes 36 of 50 for 446 yards and three touchdowns. But it simply doesn't matter. The Chiefs' defense, not good enough in the second half. A complete miscue on what was a field goal attempt where James Winchester looks like he snapped it too quickly. Dustin Colquitt not ready for it. Takes a terrible intentional grounding penalty as he just tries to get rid of the football. One thing leads to another. The Titans end up winning this game by 35-32. The Titans continue to find a way to beat Andy Reid. And again, unbelievable loss by the Kansas City Chiefs in Tennessee. Hello to Jay Binkley.
You know what? They've won four straight now against the Kansas City Chiefs. They had come in this game winning six of the last 10. This is one of those what-if games. This is one of those games you hate watching the film, Pete, because you sit there and you say, why? You say, why did this happen? 28 first downs by the Chiefs, 19 for the Titans. Chiefs dominated time of possession, 37-45. To 22-09. That's a full quarter. The Chiefs had the football more. You have Mahomes over 400 yards, the three touchdowns. This is one you have to win. But once again, the Chiefs had no answer for Derrick Henry. As we saw, it was like shades of that playoff game. It was like deja vu with Derrick Henry running all over the Chiefs. 6'3", 247 pounds. Couldn't stop him at the end of the game. And the defense had their chance. The defense had their chance to win the game. And it looked like they did on that fourth down stop. They end up getting the ball back because of the errant snap by James Winchester to Dustin Colquitt. What a horrible play that was. What an important play that was. Giving the Titans life again to move down the field. Disappointing loss. You get Mahomes back. He had this synergy, this energy. Ton of Chiefs fans made their way to Nashville. This is why these games are important, Pete. And once again, it's another close loss by the Chiefs. You know, all these are within one score. They're close. Even last year, the losses, just these close ones or one or two plays, which this game was about one or two plays.
You can't score 32 points. You can't get 530 yards and lose the game. I mean, to me, it's mistakes. It's some Andy Reid decision-making. It's just a lot of carelessness. It's not taking the Titans seriously enough. It is an abysmal run defense. You have the 68-yard touchdown for Derrick Henry, the 23 attempts for 188 yards, two touchdowns. We thought that the Chiefs defense was coming along, and it simply isn't the case. You cannot rely on the Chiefs defense for a stop against the Titans. How you think they could play and perform well enough against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots? They're not even close to that right now. That's the honest truth.
No, they're not. The third straight game they've lost a fumble. It was Damian Williams today with the fumble. It's the third straight games. They did it. LeSean McCoy not active for this game for Andy Reid. But these are the games. You have to rely on this defense. And the bad part is this defense had been stepping up. It had shown those signs against Green Bay. It had shown those signs against Denver, Green Bay game, the Minnesota game. Where the Green Bay game, I wasn't happy because they gave 5 minutes and the Green Bay Packers just manned up and ran the football and only threw one pass by Aaron Rodgers. Then the last game, it started to come together. And I was like, all right, these guys are stepping up because they don't have Mahomes. Well, here we are back again, Pete. Here we are back again. Mahomes is back, and the defense isn't holding up their end of the bargain. How many times we say this with Pat Mahomes? When he's back, can you ever have a good defensive performance with Pat Mahomes playing?
It's like he's...
Does every game have to come down to one possession with Pat? They trust him way, way too much.
And you even joke about college and high school. It's like the guy can't play a game without a reliable defense. We want to get to your calls. You can reach out to us on the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306, or call us 913-576-7610. Let's start with Claude in Joplin. What's up, Claude?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to know, what was going on? Whose call was it when we were sitting at their 23-yard line with a two-point lead? We've got first down. Whose call was it to throw for three consecutive passes, man? Why are we not running the ball to kill that clock? We know we've got a field goal right there to go up by five. Whose call would that have been? Would that have been Andy's, or would that have been Patrick's at the line?
100% Andy Reid. Unless Patrick audibled into it, but I don't know if he'd do that.
Andy Reid makes play calls.
Yeah, but see, I just don't get that, man. I'm thinking sometimes Patrick wants to make these plays when he just wants to get the yards, man. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but my God, man, to make a call at the 23-yard line to throw the ball when they've got all three of their timeouts and we're trying to kill their clock, that's all I got, man. I'm sick about it. I don't understand it.
I think that's missing from the Chiefs. They ran the ball okay today. Damien Williams, 77 yards, a 97 a team. That's not great. That's basically NFL average. The Titans, Derrick Henry carried it 23 times. Tannehill just three times. Those three times, 37 yards. It's 225 yards total by the Tennessee Titans. It's almost like they don't trust that time. The Chiefs did run the ball for 25 times. They did throw it for 51, twice as many passes than the run. They are missing that horse that they can trust at running back. And I think at times maybe they don't trust the running game as much.
Well, you got to remember in this game, LeSean McCoy, he was a healthy scratch. Damien Williams has the key fumble early on in the game when you're up 10-7 that leads to a touchdown and really changed how this whole game, I think, kind of played out. And then you have the questionable decisions. The caller mentioned the calls to go for a pass. Andy Reid always favors the pass. And there was the 3rd-and-2 on the Tennessee 24 where he puts Patrick Mahomes back there. The pressure's too much and he has to slide. And again, you could have run the football there. 3rd-and-2 at the Tennessee 24.
You know what? You're right. And I thought the game plan, a lot of the play calls with short passes, with the screen game was prevalent today for the Kansas City Chiefs. It was play calls, I believe, to help a quarterback that's coming back from an injury.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a little bit quicker. He always had someone to bail him out, like a check down.
He always did. He always had that check down available. And I thought he commanded the game relatively, extremely well coming back from the injury that he had. He can't do everything. And the defense had their opportunity. I thought they were going to get that stop. It was Chris Jones came to play at the end of the game. He played the whole game. But Chris Jones, that nice push. I mean, it was a complete push. Manned up on the defensive line against the Titans, forces into Frank Clark's hands. Frank Clark ends up getting the sack on the Kansas City Chiefs. And I thought the Chiefs would have a good pass rush today. And you know what? They should have a good pass rush today. Now, Tennessee barely had the football, Pete. Kansas City Chiefs over 15 more minutes they had than the Tennessee Titans. The Titans gave up more sacks than any team in the NFL coming in this game. And Taylor Lewan, their best offensive lineman, played like horse crap at the end of the second half.
The defense, the pressure is there. It's just you can't count on them for a stop. They're not reliable when it comes to these big-time situations. We thought it was improving, and this was an absolute disaster today. Let's continue with your phone calls. You can hit us at 913-576-7610. Fred and OP, what's up?
I don't know about you guys, but this run defense, Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies could run on us. And if Granny caught a screen out of the backfield, this defense couldn't tackle her. That's on Coach Reid. I called in weeks ago and said similar things in the fact that the stupid penalties, we've replaced the Bengals as the Bungles. That kick attempt, the punter, the trying to throw the ball. I mean, there's just stuff going on here.
Well, let me stop you there, Fred. Last year, number one in penalties and number one in penalty yards. This year, they came in this game 18th in penalties, 10th in penalty yards, and they've been decreasing them. You know, they had before the Denver game, they had 22 penalties. Let me finish. They had 22 penalties in two straight games, Denver 6, against Green Bay 3, against Minnesota 4. So they only had 7 penalties their last two games. It was a reversal of that today with the 9 penalties.
Right, but it depends on when it takes place. If I'm a cornerback and I'm causing them to get the ball at the 5 because I held for the 40th time. I'm just saying it's at the wrong times. It's time for Coach Reid to pull the entire team together and say this wasn't the play of our team that lost. They're just doing some of the dumbest things. I don't understand how a professional NFL defensive team cannot tackle.
Well, this was certainly embarrassing, Fred. There's no way about it. Ryan Tannehill came back and beat you. Ryan freaking Tannehill
and the
came
Chiefs.
Down and beat the Kansas City Chiefs defense. They had a chance to step up. And again, the way this defense has been playing, this new identity, getting to the quarterback. Tannehill's 13-19, 181, two touchdowns, nothing special. You know what Tennessee did? And this is going to make analytics people pissed. And they're taking a hit because the Ravens are running the football. The Ravens ran the football and beat the Patriots. The Titans ran the football and beat the Chiefs. Save that, you got to throw the ball to win. Not necessarily. We're seeing how we're getting beat. We saw the Patriots got beat. Yeah. It's by the ground.
Even toward the end of the game, what was wild to me is Ryan Tannehill just willed this game. And he himself, like Derrick Henry is one thing. This is a big-time running back who has beaten you before. You know what he can bring to the table. The Chiefs couldn't tackle Ryan Tannehill. He was willing them the victory. It isn't flashy. Like you said, 13 for 19, 181 yards. But those three attempts toward the end of the game for 37, just getting first downs, getting into the end zone. Let's continue with your calls. Steven in KC, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Steven.
Hey, just wanted to say, in perspective of everything, like, it's not really that horrible of a loss. It looks bad now, but in perspective, we're playing for the playoffs. You know what time comes playoffs. We got to get a couple things together. The defense did look super bad today. Got to make stops when they count the most. But other than that, turnover on offense, the special teams has to get it together. But other than that, I really don't think that it was that bad of a loss.
It is another AFC loss.
It's a bad loss because you are starting to get in this territory because if you're a football fan,
is an NFC loss, different. It's an AFC loss.
Yeah, but if you're watching the games today, right, and you see last week that the Baltimore Ravens defeated the New England Patriots, you see today just how damn good Lamar Jackson looks. Now you have your fourth loss, so the Texans have three. The Ravens, who look great, have two. You know the Patriots are going to continue to do what they do. It's starting to look like the bye is becoming less and less of a possibility for Kansas City, and that's where this one hurts. You're starting to get in that territory where you probably are going to win the division. Let's be honest about that. Again, it could get interesting. The Raiders have a soft schedule, but that bye, it is seeming less and less within reach.
The Raiders are within one now.
Right, I'm saying
they said again that Raiders look shaky. The Chargers game that was for the Chargers to stand up. Get a little bit nervous with that, but the Raiders are 5-4, and the Chiefs.
If the Raiders win a game, they'll have the same record as the Chiefs. Like that, that's where you're at right now. I personally look. The Chiefs are going to rebound from this. This isn't the end of the season. The AFC West is still going to go to the Chiefs. The bye is seeming like it's not going to happen. This was a terrible loss for that because you need to start taking care of business, and the Chiefs certainly didn't do that today. Johnny in KC, you want to talk about the third down pass?
Yeah, we could talk about, you know, the defense, the penalties, you know, James Winchester and all that. My biggest issue is after that 4th-and-17 stop, we get 8 yards on 2 carries by Damian Williams, and I feel like we could have just ran out the clock. If we got 2 yards on a first down, if we would just ran the ball one more time, you know, I don't think that was a situation where we needed to try a rollout pass. You know, that's his play call right there. I'm not one to question Andy Reid. I know he's one of the best play callers in the league. You know, clock management aside, he is a great play caller, but I don't think that was the time for that call.
At 3rd-and-2 right there, understandably, there was this whole thing before the game where James Palmer is reporting that they wanted to give LeSean McCoy a break, give him a blow, get him fresh down the end of the stretch. But LeSean McCoy, maybe if he is available in this game during that play, he's the type of guy that you put in on 3rd-and-2 and say, go win us the football game. It seemed like they didn't have enough confidence, even though they had just run twice in a row with Damian Williams. Give the ball to Pat. He gets the pressure, has to slide, and then all of a sudden you don't get that, and you take the ball out of your own hands to control the victory.
Well, and especially if you were going to use McCoy or Darwin Thompson. You gave the ball to Darwin Thompson one time. -1 yards rushing the football. He got it one pass for 8 yards as well. So you didn't really use him. Might as well use McCoy in this game. And I'm not sure. Maybe they were trying to rest him. Maybe they were telling him. He did tweet out right before the game, coming off the plane, business trip. He's all dressed out in a suit. That's something you usually don't tweet if you planned on not sitting. Now we're sitting.
The news gets a little worse for the Kansas City Chiefs. Emmanuel Ogba has a torn pectoral muscle per Andy Reid, which I believe that will end the season.
Leads the team in sacks. Had one today. It's nice to get Frank Clark back. They need to get Okafor back. That is one position they have some depth. But you definitely don't want to start keep losing the depth. And with Frank Clark, you got to keep an eye on the neck and how's he going to be performing.
Emmanuel Agba, too, is one of those players who is coming on. Once the games start, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It's just who's out there to me. And Agba, regardless, he's not this high-ticket player like Frank Clark, but he was playing especially well. 5.5 sacks, had one in the game today. That's a tough loss.
Not to mention the 20 passes defended. He's actually got more than Chris Jones. They came out in the same draft. 5 picks apart.
Please come and get involved, 69306. That's our Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line, or you can call us 913-576-7610. Let's continue with our friend Reggie from Anaheim. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, man. So, listen, I'll make this short and sweet. I'm not even mad right now. Like, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. You know why I'm not mad? Because I realize that this just isn't the team that I thought they were. I don't think they are a Super Bowl team right now, not with this defense. Regardless of who's at quarterback, when it comes down to crunch time, I just don't have a lot of confidence that this defense can hold their end of the bargain. So my expectations have now dropped. Will they make the playoffs? More than likely. I don't even think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the division at this point. Like, I don't have any trust in the defense, like, at all. Like, they're spotty at best. They'll have a couple good games, and then they'll go right back to what they were. So I'm not angry. I'm not emotional. I just realize that this is not the team that we think they are. And for us to continue to think of them as on the same level as the Patriots or even the Ravens, I think it's just foolish. I think we all need to take a step back and let this just play out, because – I just don't think they're going to – they're just not the team that I thought they were.
Well, here's the thing about it. We could call Reggie. Here's the thing about it, Pete. This defense is better than last year. They can't keep taking the hits.
But that's not saying anything.
No, but they are better. But here's the problem.
But that defense was the worst.
But here's the problem.
Any defense would be better.
But is the offense worse than it was last year?
I think –
you would have to say yes at this point, because this offense comes in this game 6th in the NFL in total yards. It's not like last year. This you know, it's we barely seen Tyreek and Patrick together. It's not been the fun.
But that's why they haven't been as good. I mean, you saw them today. They connected for 157 yards.
Well, they're averaging 28 points a game. That's far different than it was last year.
Has nothing to do with the offense. They're like, you compare the defense to last year. Of course they're going to be better. I mean, you could bring in anybody, and they may have a better combination than they did last year. It just isn't good. It's just still isn't good enough. We got excited for 3 games. I was guilty of it myself. But in a big spot against Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, you couldn't stop them. And it's tough. And Reggie's completely right. You question whether, okay, if you can't stop a Titans team, if you can't stop Ryan Tannehill, what the hell are you going to do in a big spot against Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady?
Yeah, and this was Ryan Tannehill lead the game-winning drive. Here's the thing, and there was a ton of Chiefs fans. Here's the Raiders' remaining schedule. Look at it. It's not as tough as you think. Versus the Bengals.
Win.
At the Jets.
Win.
Crap. At the Chiefs.
That's a big game all of a sudden.
Huge game. Versus the Titans at home. I'd give the edge of the Raiders on that one. Versus the Jaguars at home. At the Chargers. They just beat the Chargers. Then at the Broncos. That's not exactly a juggernaut there, right? I mean, it's not like the Chiefs.
That's a soft schedule.
That is a soft schedule. That's who the Raiders have remaining. The Chiefs, Chargers, neutral field, Mexico City, then versus the Raiders, at the Patriots, versus the Broncos, at the Bears, and the Chargers. The Patriots is the big difference between the Chiefs and the Raiders' schedule.
You had a game today where Pat...
But they got the Bengals and the Jets, man.
You had a game today where Pat, honestly, if you watch that game and you're a diehard Chiefs fan, you and I, you watch this game with Patrick Mahomes, right? He doesn't even look like himself still. Again, he still seems he's favoring something. You know, the right knee, whatever it is, he just doesn't look like – he's still throwing jump passes for touchdowns, 446 yards, 36 of 50. Like, to me, if he puts out that effort and you have Tyreek Hill playing the way he is, that's got to be enough. 32 points has got to be enough, and the defense just not able to do it against a Titans team who's not that good. It's just – they're not that good. And, again, your whole offseason – program, your whole offseason goal was to improve this defense, and you can't beat the Tennessee Titans, a key game in the middle of the year.
Do you honestly think this offense is as good as it was last year? Last year, they averaged a touchdown more per
game.
You
had two games where Matt Moore played.
I'm just saying, I understand that.
When everyone's healthy,
but
yeah.
But even when Matt Moore, before he came in there, they were dipping down to the third and fourth.
When everyone's healthy, they are comparable. They're missing.
When healthy.
They're missing right now, I think, a reliable running back.
Well, that exactly. They're missing a reliable game. That's a touchdown less per game than they had last year. That's significant.
Steven in the Lenexa, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
I think we have to reevaluate late-game situations. It's obvious that Minnesota and Green Bay were a mirage. Against elite runners, we really ought to just capitulate and let them score in late-game situations and conserve the clock, because we can win shootouts and go to the Super Bowl. We just have to get out of this mentality that we can stop Derrick Henry or anyone that's good, Sony Michel. We have to get in the mentality of the old Chargers and just do it like 54-50. I mean, but listen, this proves.
Yeah, but you got to do it better than that, because the Chargers didn't win crap.
Well, we have to try something different. This proves that we are not going anywhere playing this philosophy. We are not going to do anything, and so you have to try something different. We lost Ogba. We have to go into that mentality. The Patriots do it all the time. The Patriots say, hey, just march down there and score.
Right.
We want the ball last. We're confident that we're going to win. And our coaching staff is still locked into the mentality of, oh, we're a good defense. We blitz all the time. Well, we just found that they're a fraud, and we need to start something. So I don't really care if we give up 50 points as long as we win. I know you're not supposed to say that in the NFL, but I'm perfectly fine with allowing – let them score, let the other team get a field goal or score every time as long as we get seven. So that's where we're at right now. We're not going anywhere unless we change our philosophy.
No, he wants to believe in his defense. Andy Reid does. He believed in it for the Packers, gave him the ball back 5 minutes. Here's the thing. This game came down to a couple things, Pete, and you and I talking about this in the beginning, and it's that chance to kind of put that nail in the coffin. Fourth and two at the Tennessee 12. They decide on a field goal. Well, you said you would have gone for it in that situation. I would have, because this offense was running. Right. It was in sync. They were tough to stop.
You had just picked up 17 as well with the pass to Kelsey.
Yeah, I would have probably gone in that situation. Again, use your offense as your best weapon, because it clearly is. And later in the game, fourth and two at the Tennessee 43, they went. They got that first down. That was important for the Chiefs to get it. A lot of people talking about that third and two. Why are you passing instead of running it? Here's what it comes down to. And I'm all about running the football. I'm all about running the football. I don't think we have that guy right now. But here's the thing. On third and two, do you want the ball in Pat Mahomes' hands or Damian Williams? That's your choice.
Of course, it's Mahomes.
Okay. Yeah. I do not blame that blank call.
But to that last caller's point, and Steven, I can understand where he's coming from. Like, John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens, they, right from the gate with the Chiefs game, they came out and said, we're going to be going for it on fourth down. We're going to be aggressive. That's the perfect example. If you can't trust this defense, and listen, they can be average. Today was really below average. It felt like if it's somewhere in that range, right? Keep the ball in your hands. If you're fourth and two on the Tennessee 12 and you have a 7-0 lead, go for that. At fourth and two on the Tennessee 12, go for the – get as many points as you possibly can. And that way you can make the Titans a little bit more one-dimensional from get-go, and then all of a sudden your defense has an advantage because it needs every advantage it can possibly get.
You know what else I thought was really bad today? And it showed its ugly head at various times. And it's special teams. Mecole Hardman fielding a punt, unexcusable. They need to take that Tony Romo audio and play it for him. I know Dave Tobe got in his ear, and we saw Reed kind of getting after James Winchester there at the bad snap. Special teams was horrendous. Hardman taking the ball inside the 5-yard line. It's unexcusable. You can't do that. I mean, look how far we are into the season. The Chiefs have played 10 games, and you still got Hardman catching punts inside the 3. You can't do it. Now, he showed exceptional speed at wide receiver. Punt returners, not his thing right now, because he didn't know when to let it go. Kenny Rogers, you know when to hold him, know when to fold him. He doesn't know when to fold him. That's a real problem for Mecole Hardman. The snap from Winchester, again, it's those little things. You know, we want to blame the kicker a lot, but it comes down to that snap, that hold, everything. Colquitt did anything he could there. There was nobody open because they wasn't a fake.
You can
it was just a bad snap. And, again, that cost him. But special teams does come back and it haunts you. The missed extra point. I mean, all these things are special teams. I thought the special teams had a rough, rough day.
You can make the case right now, and I know they're trying to develop Mecole Hardman, but you can make a case right now, and I know some fans are against this because of how important he is to the offense. We saw that today with 150-plus yards. But you can make the case that they have to have Tyreek Hill back there, not only because he's the best option, but because Mecole isn't an option. I just don't think he's ready to be a punt returner. And you look at the margin of this game, 35-32. If Tyreek Hill is your punt returner the entire game, you may win it. You may win the game.
He might not even return the punt.
Exactly.
I mean, it goes out of bounds, whatever. And here's the thing, though. I know that 3rd and 2, you know where I'm talking about, where people are saying they should have ran the ball into the
front? Toward the end of the game.
Well, here's the deal. On 4th and 2 at the Tennessee 43, what'd they do? They passed the ball to Damian Williams. It was a pass, but no one's complaining about that because it worked.
Right, right, right. I mean, it all is hindsight. You know, if they pass that ball and they go for a first down and they win the football game, it's a great decision. That is a little bit hindsight. It's 20-20, but it is 2 yards, and you can understand the frustration. I think the bigger frustration, more so than decision for me, is the Chiefs don't really know what the hell they're doing at running back right now. They really don't. They don't. A couple weeks ago, it felt like LeSean McCoy was the best option, and that wasn't close. Then Damian Williams suddenly has his 91-yard run last game, which where he looked really good. He didn't really do great the rest of the game, but here the Chiefs roll with him, don't even dress McCoy, and then Damian Williams has a key fumble in this game. So that, to me, is a bigger problem.
3.9 yards per carry as a team running the football. Damian Williams did have 77 yards, 4.1 yards per carry. Again, that's not flashy. It's pretty average.
913-576-7610. Going back out to the phone lines. Pete in Rhode Island. Like the name, Pete.
Thanks. I just want to say that I really don't think it's a game management thing. I think it's a coaching scheme thing. Andy Reid is a great offensive mind and a play caller, but whatever he's doing and the people that he is picking to run this team is backwards. I don't understand Dave Tobe. I don't understand what they're doing. I feel like they're just going through the motions because they have Patrick Mahomes. When they don't have Patrick Mahomes, everybody's locked in. But when they get Patrick Mahomes back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Great call.
No, thank you for the call. That.
And by the way, happy birthday, Pete.
Yeah. Real thrilling birthday for me today.
Yep. Thank you.
What's interesting about Dave Tobe, and I will say this, special teams have been bad lately. They've been bad this year. This is the first time since 2013, it really feels like.
But that was unexcusable high school type stuff.
I understand.
You're 10 games into the season, you have one of the best coaches in special teams in the NFL, and you're not letting the ball go. You're catching inside the 3. These are things you're taught in peewee football, Pete. I guarantee you the Pop Warner fields around here teach that. Here's an NFL team. NFL team with Super Bowl aspirations has a guy doing that. It's unbelievable.
What I'm saying is it may be less Dave Tobe and maybe more of Tobe with this organization trying to make use of their top pick. That there is an aspect to that because, like I said, it's not like special teams have been bad in Kansas City. It's been bad this year, but he's been here the entire time that Andy
Reid. Not only that, but just getting him involved in the game. Both Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson combined one catch for 5 yards for the last game against the Vikings. That was different. Hardman showed that speed. And that we're all talking about the Mahomes jump pass, which was great and unbelievable. But Hardman breaking away there really showcased that speed. And that's the thing this team could do. And the other thing, too, is going to Andy Reid's play calling. There were some things I did like. One, I liked that, even though they just did it once, putting Tyreek Hill in the backfield. That creates so many mismatches when he lines up in the backfield. And not only that, I thought Tyreek Hill played extremely tough today. He broke a lot of tackles. At least 4 times he broke a tackle with the Titans, got those extra yards. That was important. I also liked the shovel pass call. The fake handoff by Pat Mahomes and the little shovel, little flip to Travis Kelce. I mean, there were some good things, but again, you got to do it for 4 quarters.
100%. And Andy Reid has his moments, but in the losses, sometimes the mistakes are, it feels like they're avoidable. And I think that's the toughest thing. And sometimes in these losses, you're like, man, it seems a little bit simpler than maybe the Chiefs are making it when it's on the sideline. Let's go out to Aaron in Dallas. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's up? Well, 2 quick things. The first thing with Tyreek Hill, he doesn't need to be back there doing punts or any of that other stuff. He almost got hurt today. He's too important to the offense. They just need to figure it out. But he's too important.
Often he doesn't even get it, though.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
It's tough to get hurt if they're not kicking to you.
I agree with you, but if he gets hurt on a punt, just think what the reaction would be. Think what your reaction would be.
Here's the thing, though. You want him to do it. I'm with you. You want him to do it in the postseason or non-contested games. When games are close, he's my guy.
Yeah,
if games are too precious in the NFL, the game is close, he's my guy. If the game's not close, he's not the guy.
And real quick, the second thing, the biggest play of the game by far today was Dame.
Well, you could understand the frustration today. You can understand the frustration of Chiefs fans today. Let's go out to Chief in KC. What's up, Chief?
Yeah, hey. So really what this comes down to is it's a mindset on defense. If you got Tannehill carrying your defensive back on his back, I mean, I don't know what to say. If I was Brett Veach, I'd start cutting people and saying we're gonna get anybody we can and pay them a lot less to have an opposing team's quarterback carry us on their back running for a first down, because that's a mindset.
I understand the philosophy, but it's awful tough this time of year. I know what you're saying, though. That's embarrassing.
It was a situation where at the end of the game, there's no way other way to put it. Ryan Tannehill willed the Titans to victory. Willed them the victory.
Tannehill wore the backpack.
He put the team on his back. He really did. And between him and Derrick Henry, the Chiefs just weren't able to stop anybody. Timmy and KC, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing? I think it's on Andy Reid, because if you can't get 2 yards, I mean, you know, without throwing the ball, I mean, I would just have Tyreek come around and hand off to him. I'm sure Tyreek could have got it.
You know what? You know, that's not a half-bad thought, because even on a jet sweep or something like that, Tyreek Hill was getting yardage left and right on this team. And Andy Reid, too. Well, let's put it this way. That at the end there, we forget how great Pat Mahomes was to bring him back in field goal position. That was a makeable field goal.
Yeah.
That Pat Mahomes did lead him down there to do it.
Right.
Should have had an extra timeout. I felt Andy Reid blew one on a 2-point conversion. And did it really matter? Because they didn't even need – because the Chiefs' defensive alignment was screwed up in several situations because they ran exactly where Tony Romo said they were. Tony Romo knew exactly where the Titans were running. They would have just handed the ball off to Derrick Henry, and he would have got the touchdown. Instead, they went to Tannehill to power through. But the Chiefs blew a timeout right there, a precious timeout. Don't you want Pat with three of them?
You can't take that timeout at the end of the game.
No.
You can't. Because they're probably, with the way that your defense is, the way the flow of the game is going, they're probably getting those points regardless. I don't know if it necessarily impacted the Chiefs. They were still able to get their field goal try with time running out, but – to me, again, it's one of those late game situations where you're like, Andy Reid, man, you are so smart. You are such a great play caller. You're so creative.
Yeah.
How could you not figure the clock out? It is always an issue.
It's hard to figure the clock out if you're worried about what play to call next.
You're saying that he should be handing the play calls to
somebody
else?
No, he's clearly the best play caller on this team. I'm just saying it's tough. It's tough at times to do both. It just is.
You have a lot of assistants. There's got to be somebody.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. But that's what Chili was here for. That's what Chili's job.
It feels like he's had issues every year. Rick in Springfield, what's up?
Hey, guys. this team is not winning the Super Bowl. We can say all we want of, hey, the defense just has to be average or whatever. But they've proven time. I mean, Ryan Tannehill just carved us up down the field. You could put Slappy McButterpants back there, and our defense wouldn't be able to stop them.
That's what hurts. When you say Tannehill beat us, that hurts, man. I mean, it's true. 100% true.
I mean, the defense can play well for a period, but it's when it counts. And in the playoffs, every possession counts. So that's why this team's not winning a Super Bowl until they get a serviceable defense.
I'd go Butterpants running for 55.
You got to start with next week, and you have to get that win. It has become now, once again, I think at the beginning of the year, we were very excited. I was very excited. We were looking forward to this Week 14 Patriots matchup. It's become an every-week season. No win, as of now, is guaranteed anymore. You're not just going to walk in and beat anybody. I'm not confident about anybody.
This is the NFL, though. Every week there's games that shouldn't have happened. Just like the Saints losing at home to the Falcons shouldn't have happened. The Patriots getting spanked by the Ravens shouldn't have happened. You know, every year, Pete, you go look at the last five Super Bowl champions. Each one of them is spanked. Last year, the Patriots started 1-2 and were hammered by Detroit 26-10. Then they won a Super Bowl. This thing happens every year. The bad part for me is, for the Chiefs, the thing about the Chiefs that's so frustrating, you play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. You know why?
You always do.
Because it's coming down to one or two plays, yep, man. They are not getting spanked. They are not. They are getting the best effort from every team when they play them. And they are not losing by a touchdown. They are not losing by double digits. They are not getting destroyed. Just not. They're hanging right there. Should have won the games. You can look back at all these. Should have, would have, could have.
No, it is true. And, I mean, Reed will say that constantly, that it is always this game of inches. And I know it is an expression, but it's rare, too. I mean, with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if the Chiefs have ever lost by more than a score. I don't think they have, and since Mahomes has taken over. And so it's the little things, and it drives you crazy when you look at the line.
19-13, 31-24, lose the Packers 31-24.
This dates to 2018, though. I don't.
35-32, and you go back to last year, in all those games were close with the Chiefs last year where they lost the games, and they were all close. That's the thing about Patrick. He's going to keep you in the game. Because that's what he does. That's why he needs the defense to step up. You look last year, 43-40 in New England, 54-51 with the Rams. Again, two field goal games right there. 29-28 to the Chargers, 1 point loss. And then 38-31 against the Seahawks was the biggest margin of defeat since Patrick Mahomes. 7 points against the Seahawks. That is the biggest margin of victory.
Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate cheat code. The bottom line is, if he throws for more than 400 yards and you put up 32 points, you can't lose that football game. Let's read a couple of texts from the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You could get at us at 69306. From the 816, the offense should have dominated that Titans squad. That's on Andy. Defense should have stacked the box for Derrick Henry, but Spags didn't adjust. That's on Andy. Keeps saying that's on Andy.
Wait, pause real quick. That Titans was the best. The defense was the best unit they had. They were. You look how good the Titans defense was this year. Seventh in points against.
You got to get a stop if you're the Chiefs.
They were seventh in points against. Chiefs went over 500 yards on the Titans. They were 13th best defense in football. This was actually a really good defense from the Tennessee Titans. It really was, and they were able to dominate more than a quarter the time of possession against the Titans. Pat Mahomes threw for over 400 yards against that defense.
From the 816, Andy Reid is baffled by the clock. That doesn't give me hope. From the 620, can you guys talk about the offsides missed call? I did see this again. If you go back and look at the final kick, it does seem like there was a Titan toward the left side of the line that maybe could have jumped. I understand where that could be a concern. If it's missed, if it's not, you're still in a football game with the Tennessee Titans where you have a 9-point lead late. You got to find a way to win that football game, and it should never come down to one play. I'm never going to be someone that says, oh, the referees blew this call, that's why you lost the game. It is interesting if you want to go back and look at it, but there's nothing you can do about it now.
No, I know. From the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, Andy needs to go. Please, all caps, couple exclamation. Please follow it up with who would you hire right now?
And from the 512, Andy.
He's what, 50 in the NFL all-time wins?
Andy's overrated. From the 816, you're seeing a lot of it. He's an offensive genius until it matters. Then he outsmarts himself.
Five NFC title games, one AFC title game, been to a Super Bowl. I get it. He doesn't have a ring, but who else are you getting? Andy's just fine.
Right, right. I a lot of the Philadelphia fans, when Reed moved on to Kansas City, I know that they were saying some of the things about, you know, the frustrations, and it does come up. It feels like in bigger games, not usually games like this, there are mistakes that are made, and they make the difference when it's good football teams. Again, this is a tough win, but there's a few of these each year with Andy Reid that are just baffling.
And it's hard to say, because I guarantee you, if Winchester doesn't screw up that snap, and the Chiefs win, I think people are looking at Andy Reid like they did last week. I do. It's that close of a game, screwing up a snap like that, giving the Titans good field position, as Colt quit ineligible, the pass that he made where they got the penalty on that as well because nobody's down there. He threw the ball away. You can't do that. But it's little things like that that Andy Reid doesn't have any control over.
I think the biggest thing with Reid, and this is where he's great,
they practice that stuff all the time.
You got to remember how hard it is to make the playoffs in the NFL, and Andy Reid finds a way to do it most seasons, which is an incredible feat. Where you start to get concerned with Reid, and this is just in these big games toward the end of the year, where there are exact points of the game where you could look at it and say, what happened here?
So we said about Marty.
What's the thought process here? Why is this the decision? And it tends to bite him in what feels like the bigger games. There are a handful of games. If you go back and look even in just the Chiefs tenure, where you say, wow, they got shocked that day, which does happen in the NFL. This hopefully is one of those cases, and the Chiefs can kind of gather themselves and find a way to beat the Chargers in Mexico City. But again, Andy Reid hurts himself, I think, sometimes by his successes, because he finds a way to make the playoffs every year, but he just hasn't managed to get it done. And that is what's most frustrating for what was Eagles fans and is now Chiefs fans.
Protein now, see with the Purpose text line, asking if we'd fire the defensive coordinator. Here's the only way I would do it is if he's not listening to the assistants. And you have other assistants with better, you know, vision for the game. If you're not, but he doesn't.
And he
seem
handpicked
like,
his assistants.
But if, yeah, exactly. But if you don't feel, and I don't see that or hear that, that there's contention. If there was contention and you thought that Brendan Daly or Matt House could do the job better, you make the switch. But I haven't really heard that. I haven't heard any dissension between the coaching staff and Steve Spagnuolo.
This defense last year was horrendous. And it just, it sometimes takes a couple years to, I think, rebuild an entire defense.
He had a perfect position. You know, you can go nowhere but up.
Progress sometimes won't happen until you have the pieces in there and guys play together. There are points of the defense and points of the personnel where you can focus in on, and it feels like, shoot, the Chiefs really made mistakes there. Like, I look at Chris Jones right now. I mean, if you take an outlier part of this game, he is clearly the best defensive player. The only reason that Frank Clark was able to get a sack today, that was a gift from Chris Jones. And it is just a microcosm of the problem that was caused by potentially the decision-making.
He showed up at the end of the game every single play.
Every play, the entire game, he's clearly the best player. Without Chris Jones, I don't know what this game looks like. He was the only one that was maintaining consistent pressure, I thought, on Tannehill all game. Agba was another one, but now here he is, torn pectoral muscle. He's probably out for the year.
It's good news that that's a deep position for the Chiefs. And hopefully Okafor comes back at some point.
And here it is. This from Kansas City Star's Sam McDowell. Frank Clark told me he's been dealing with a pinched nerve since training camp. Mm. Couldn't feel two of his fingers. I've been playing timid. So there you go. Finally, it comes through that Frank Clark has been dealing with what it sounds to like somewhat of a major injury.
It's not good. That neck's bad because it involves your hip. It affects your hip, your back, everything else. And, yeah, there's a reason. I mean, I think Agba and Tano at times show as much as Frank. But, you know, Frank does show up at times. And if he's playing hurt. That's what they have injections for.
A pinched nerve.
You don't want to hear it, but that's why they have them.
A pinched nerve where you can't feel two of your fingers.
Not good.
This is just the beginning, I think, of what is going to be a bigger story. Because whether he should be on the field at all when you can't feel your fingers – that is a major question that I'm sure is going to start to become a thing here in Kansas City over the next week. A pinched nerve. He's been playing with that since training camp. That does not sound something.
He looked great in training camp.
That does not sound like something that
you saw it.
He should be playing with. Ryan and KC, what's going on?
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out the first half of the game. We put a lot of pressure. We blitzed. We were in the backfield. We were making Tannehill try to make plays. The second half of the game, it's almost like we get conservative. We're scared to lose. We're banking on our line, getting pressure. Chris Jones solely. And I guess I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Now, there was a few blitzes towards the end. You remember that one Frank Clark or Jones pushes through? Then Tyrann Mathieu was right there, man. I mean, he was right – or, excuse me, Thornhill was right there. So they were blitzing safeties a little bit.
It just seems like it's less in the second half, and that's ultimately why we let mediocre quarterbacks like Tannehill carve us up. And then the second half of almost every game, we're letting running backs just run wild. Granted, Henry's a stud, but, you know, substitute Henry with someone else, and that's been the case second half.
Henry's a stud, but he was averaging 3.9 per carry this year. I mean, he is good, and he's a stud,
whether it's
but
today or week past, the second half of games, we're letting running backs have the best game of their life.
Yeah, well, he was a man-child today, no question about it. Derrick Henry averaged 8.2 yards per carry. 8.2 per carry.
And it's not like he's been...
Tannehill went 12.3.
Henry's not been doing this all year. If you look at the game log, I mean, I see one game of 100 yards. He hasn't gotten more than 100 yards on the ground all season. This was a Chiefs defense who was gassed, and you make a case for Mike Pennell, who's playing pretty good coming into this game. The Chiefs did not dress him. He seemed like he was a healthy scratch as well.
He's been good as Mark Pennell, as far as people say, who's Mike Pennell? Well, he's a run-stuffing beast that they had, but Derrick Henry did have that 68-yard run. I mean, you take that out of the equation, and it's what, 120 divided by 22. He would have still averaged 5.45 yards per carry. So he was still carrying the mail regardless of that run. Unlike when Damien Williams got that 91-yarder, it was what, 11 carries for 34 yards? Big difference.
The Chiefs lose in Tennessee to the Titans 35-32. This is the Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. We want to hear from you, 913-576-7610, or reach out on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. We will take more of your calls coming up, and that's next.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Chiefs lose to the Titans 35-32. Terrible loss in Tennessee. A lot of Chiefs fans were in attendance. Not treated to a victory in Tennessee today. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid spoke to the media shortly after the loss.
Injuries, Ogba, tore his pec, right pec, and then Rankins hurt his right knee. We'll know more tomorrow once we get the MRI. I'll take responsibility for the loss. We were in a position to close it, and we didn't get that done. My responsibility. And then we were too sloppy. You come down and you play like we did. Again, head coach's responsibility. You can't do it like that. Contrary, I thought Mike did a nice job with his football team. They played well, aggressive, and we need, we have an opportunity to put the game away. We need to make sure we do that. Again, that's my responsibility. That time's yours.
Andy, not the outcome you expected. Overall, how did Pat look today?
Yeah, no, he did some good things. He came out healthy, and he'll tell you the same thing. We've all got to do a little bit better, but I was happy with the things that he did for the most part.
Coach, LeSean McQuay with a healthy smash today. Is there a particular reason why?
Yeah, I just thought it was the right thing to do right now. I mean, LeSean's not getting any younger, so it's important that I manage him the right way as we go. And I just thought it was the right thing to do at this time.
Andy Reid, courtesy of Spectrum Sports. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio. Let's continue on with the Chiefs head coach.
Andy, on the field goal, I don't know if you talked to people on goal up yet, but the first field goal you guys attempted, it didn't seem like Dustin was expecting the snap. What was your understanding?
Yeah, the communication there was messed up. So, again, we've got to do better there. So. And then the last one, they blocked. I want to see the replay on that, just see how close that was. I thought he was offsides at the when it happened, but he might not have been. But that's what it looked like, from the side.
Offensive line today, I mean, it seemed like so you had a couple guys go down. It's just the makeshift that happened.
Yeah, we did have to do that. We had some guys get banged up, and the guys worked there. Andy worked him around and they were able to kind of keep it rolling there and, end up playing pretty good the second half.
The play that Patrick throws the touchdown to McCall Harmon, have you seen that as a jump pass of that nature?
That was a good job by him. It was a good job by McCall. But it was good for him to step up in the pocket like he did and to get it out of there, yeah.
Anything else?
Okay. A pretty brief post-game press conference for the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, that courtesy of Spectrum Sports.
James Palmer, NFL Network, tweeted out, I know you've seen it, Pete, but it's worth mentioning again. Frank Clark told Palmer he felt the Chiefs defense came out soft on the final drive, and the Titans came out more aggressive than they did on that drive. Clark also said they didn't expect Tannehill to come out and run as physically as he did today. How about that? Frank Clark calling him soft. That's pretty strong words, man.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's the worst. It's the worst you can call a defense from a fellow player is soft.
It's fine. He said a lot about being a leader of this team in the offseason. You're seeing now that apparently he's been dealing with a pinched nerve, which is what he told Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star. I just don't know how you could come out of today.
Well, he called himself out, too, to be fair. He called himself timid.
Right. I don't know if today's the day that you call the entire defense soft when you were brought here to do so much. And I understand there might be injuries to do it. I don't know if the timing's right on that for you, Frank. That to me is something that maybe Chris Jones should say and would have the platform to say it. I just don't know if Clark to this point has really earned the ability to call his fellow teammates soft.
God, what is it about the Titans, though? Mariota catching a touchdown pass. Derrick Henry again. Shades of the playoff loss. At least it's not the playoff loss.
Yeah,
at least it's not.
And it's never as good as you think. It's never as bad as you think. This is not the end of the season for the Chiefs. They have plenty of time to turn it around. You have a situation a couple of years ago where we saw the New England Patriots looked horrible on Monday Night Football here in Kansas City, where they lost by several scores. And then
41-14
looked like the season was over for them. They turned it around and go to the Super Bowl. Not to say that that happens to every team, but again, there are teams that have bad losses that still win a championship.
I mean, all these games are winnable, too. That's the thing. Let that Texans game, let that Colts game slip out of the way. Letting this one, letting victory slip right away from you. They should have some wins. I'll give Aaron Rodgers in that 31-24 victory over the Packers. That's fine. Pat Mahomes, not in that game. That was Matt Moore. So I'll give him that one, even though that Packers team went on the road. And, again, this is why the NFL is unexplainable. After beating the Chiefs at Arrowhead, they go on the road to the Chargers. In front of their own fans. 184 total yards the Packers had the following week. 422 by the Chargers. And the Chargers laying it against the Raiders. That's the NFL, man. You never know what you're going to get. But I will say this. The Chiefs are consistent.
They have a couple of these losses every year. I mean, what's probably going to happen next week? I know it's hard to look ahead. But they'll probably get back together and find a way to win.
Well, they're not going to run the table anymore.
No. I mean, the idea that they run the table is over, and you have to really look at every game individually. This is not a thing where you're looking forward now, because as we've said, and granted, I still believe that the Chiefs will win the AFC West, but the Raiders are right behind you now with an easy schedule.
No question, a very easy schedule. Bengals, Jets reside, plus a game at Arrowhead Stadium. That suddenly becomes big. You know, Chiefs, Raiders, big again.
Right.
Who would have thought that the Raiders would have been in a position this year to make any game a big game? Well, even going to Mexico City and playing the Chargers, big game. Not the Chargers start to feel themselves again. They switch from Ken Whisenhunt, fire him as offensive coordinator. Thought they had some blood. They were on the right path. Even Colin Cowherd out. Actually, you're saying the Chargers about to go on a roll, and they pee down their leg against the Raiders after a nice win against the Packers. It's hard to say, man. But neutral site game. Mexico City becomes more important for the Chiefs now.
You can call us 913-576-7610 or hit us on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. Let's go out to the phone lines and talk to you. You, what's on your mind?
Oh, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
First of all, we should blame Colquitt. Had nothing to do with that loss. I mean, yeah, it was messed up, whatever, but I get it. Fine. Andy Reid has an issue with game management. He played the game same way Zimmer played that game last week against us. He played not to lose. And that's always going to get your loss. Why in the world does Patrick Mahomes' best games, they come out in a loss? Dude had over 400 yards throwing, and we still couldn't win the game. That's egregious.
Yep.
On so many levels. I mean, I still kind of believe in Andy, but boy, is that
yeah, and
really
a lot of quarterbacks will put
right
up
now
big numbers in losses. That does happen before. But how about this, though? How about Dave Tobe? This just came out for Pro Football Talk. How about this? The man who blocked from Michael David Smith, the man who blocked the kick, blocked Buckner's kick, right? Joseph Kalou said after the game, he was figuring out the Chiefs' cadence on field goals throughout the game. By the Chiefs' final play, their fifth field goal attempt of the game, he had it down pat. How about that? So pretty well. That's Dave Tobe right there.
That's actually true. But I just that last play of the last drive of the game, Andy Reid was just playing not to lose that
game.
It's
like tipping your pitches.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call.
That's not what you want to hear from an opposing player.
Andy Reid taking a lot of the blame for today. This is the most I've seen maybe ever, and this includes playoff losses of a lot of Reid-driven comments from both the text line on Twitter. It sounds like some of the calls. There's a lot of Andy Reid frustration today.
There really is. There's more than usual. There's always been that scapegoat, and his name's Bob Sutton. There's always been that.
Well, there's no more excuses.
There's no more excuses. It's a Super Bowl-caliber team. You had the MVP coming back. You had a defense that was starting to believe in themselves. 14 sacks between that Green Bay game and the Denver Broncos game and a complete game, shutting down Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, the Minnesota Vikings, the Offensive Player of the Month, and Kirk Cousins. Great win by the Kansas City Chiefs. only to be just let Derrick Henry go for 8.2 per on you. And I get it, the 68-yard run, but again, he's nearly 5.5 yards of carry without that. Tannehill, over 30 yards rushing, just tough physical running. The Titans played physical smack. That's the difference. The Chiefs have been beaten by teams that want to play a little more physical than they are. And you know what? Frank Clark might be right. The defense came out soft on that final drive. Not good. I mean, it's easy for us to say. It's much different if a player says that.
Call us 913-576-7610. Let us know your thoughts on this Chiefs-Titans loss. Let's go to Greg in Pennsylvania. Greg, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I'll make a couple points, and then I'll listen off the air. That final 2 minutes is why that head coach will never win a Super Bowl. The guy is just pathetic, and this game was lost before the inactives and the actives came out. You're playing against Henry. Why is one of your best run stuffers inactive? I mean, it makes no sense. Why? It makes no sense. And can we stop with the Super Bowl talk? This team is not going to the Super Bowl. It's flawed and it's injured. But, I mean, I'm sick of the media giving Andy Reid a pass. After every loss, oh, I got to coach better. I got to do better. It's the same crap. It happened in Philly. It's happening now. He's gonna waste Mahomes' career, and it's pretty sad. All right, fellas.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. Let's also give him credit for helping Mahomes' career, too. I think the quarterback-coach combination is extremely important, and I don't think Pat Mahomes is MVP with another coach.
You know how teams as a whole, and you see this in the NFL all the time, where they play good enough, but it's never to get a great draft pick? I think that's where Andy Reid hurts his own career, because it just seems like he's good enough to always consistently make the playoffs, but there is always a game, and again, this isn't the playoffs today, but it just reminds me of it, where there's a mistake or there like a personnel decision. Like, this kind of reminded you of what tends to happen, and it's happened almost every year of Andy Reid's career, where he has this great success in the regular season, or at least a wild card, makes the playoffs, but it always ends in a loss.
It's true. 9-7, the worst record he's had in Kansas City. He didn't make the playoffs that year, but still two games over 500. It is like that. And the bottom line is, they were in a position there at the end. You know, the missed field goal, the bad snap. I mean, whose fault is that really?
It just was a perfect storm.
Whose fault is that really?
Whatever could go wrong went wrong today at the end of the game.
Is that his fault that the field goal was blocked? The Titans knew the cadence? Or does he trust too much in Dave Tobe to get the job done, needs to step in? Because what the Titans are saying, they knew the snap count. That's why they blocked it.
At a certain point, I understand after each loss, he'll say, I take the blame. But over the years, right, he's had these built-in excuses where first it was, oh, well, John Dorsey messed up the cap. Well, now you have your hand-picked GM. Well, Bob Sutton has held us back. Once we get rid of Bob Sutton, it'll be fine. And now you have your hand-picked defensive coordinator with the scheme that you used in Philly. And this is what you're turning back to now. So you have your quarterback. It's not like you had to trade for a quarterback and Alex Smith. You have one of the best quarterbacks, at least early on in his career, that we've ever seen. All of the excuses for any loss, it's over with. Because you can blame that on Dave Tobe, but you hired Dave Tobe. You're the head coach. I think you got to take that blame. For what it's worth, Andy Reid, after each loss, says it's on me. He does say that. But at the same time, you can understand why fans are starting to get frustrated and say, well, when does it change? When are we just going to be that dominant force that we expect you to be with the MVP of the National Football League?
Or a coaching staff with three potential head coaches on it. I was going to say four, but Dave Tobe can't seem to get that job. And this year's not going to help him.
This year will not help that cause. Gina in Arizona, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, Gina.
Hey, guys. It's really good to talk to you. This is the first time I've ever called in. I've been holding down the Chiefs fandom in Arizona for 22 years. It's a pleasure.
Very cool.
Talk to you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on with us.
Yeah, this is great. So I wish I had brighter news or something bright to say about the Chiefs, but my point is inconsistency. It's been the same season for 22 years that I've been watching. The offense is great. The defense, not so much. Hey, defense, hello. Then we need a better coach. And then we get a better coach. And now we have this generational quarterback, and I still don't think we're going to do it, guys. It takes a perfect storm of consistency, consistent health, winning games like this. I mean, I get that, like, the Patriots had a snafu against the Chiefs, but it was one. How many of the Chiefs have where they should have won and they can't close it?
Well, Jenna, you've watched the team for 22 years. Remember when it was just about defense and not offense?
Yeah.
You were in that tail end of that? You're at the tail end with just that defense, no offense.
It's got to be frustrating. The worst part I think about today, and again, if you listen to the Arrowhead Pride tailgate before the game, as we go into this, Kent and I were talking, you really started to feel like, well, damn, the defense has finally caught up. We're finally feeling good. Patrick Mahomes is back. It is all hands on deck. This team feels complete. There should be no issue with the Titans. And then you run into this wall again.
Yeah, but just like what Okafor said after the Denver game, where it's time for us to step up. I felt like they were stepping up anyway in that game, but we stepped up because Pat's hurt. Why is it that when Pat comes back,
exactly,
you decide to lay another egg?
It's a great point.
I mean, seriously, well, again, Pete, I've been saying this all year. I think that the coaching staff, I think the defense, I think the offense to some extent, except for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they take Pat Mahomes for granted. That no matter what, Pat Mahomes is going to get the job done, and they rest on their laurels. And they're not that attacking style that we've seen without Pat. They stepped up in a big way, and it was showing. Then Pat comes back, and all of a sudden Derrick Henry takes your lunch money.
Speaking of the Chiefs quarterback, 36 of 50 for 446 yards and 3 touchdowns in today's game. Here was Patrick Mahomes after the game.
How are you feeling? How's the knee feeling?
Yeah, I mean, the knee's feeling fine, just as we expected going into the game. Credit to those trainers and that training staff for getting me ready to play. But the knee feels fine, and I was glad to get through another game.
What about the ankle? Is the ankle stronger than what?
Yeah, the ankle's good. We knew we needed rest for the ankle. We knew we needed some days off, and so with having the knee, I got to rest that ankle, and I was able to play and do what I could do, and I don't have any pain there.
Well, the game was some short passes, then you kind of opened up a little bit. Was that kind of your game plan going forward, or was it just being conservative because of your condition?
No, that was the game plan. I mean, they played a lot of shell coverage, so we were just taking what they gave us, and there was a lot of underneath guys open, and so I was trying to get them the ball and move the chains, and, it just kind of kept the offense going. We obviously hurt ourselves with penalties in that first half, but we were able to get the game going and moving the ball down the field.
The third down play on the next to last drive, mm-hmm. you kind of slid and lost a few yards. Take us through that play, if you would, what you saw. And how important it was to you to stay in bounds and keep the clock running as opposed to throwing it away?
Yeah, I mean, it was another screen play where we were trying to get everybody across the field and kind of hit Bell out the backside, and they covered it well. The guy there, DN, didn't really come up the field. He sat in front of it, and it was very similar to the play we ran against the Ravens. And so we were trying to hit that guy, let him get up the field, get the first down, and essentially win the game there. But he wasn't open, and knowing that, I kind of went out there trying to run for it. They were running me down, and I slid just so that they had to use their last time out, and they weren't able to save that.
You're obviously comfortable going into this game, but I'm wondering when you got hit for the first time, if that gave you a little confidence that you were going to be able to handle it.
No, I mean, I trusted in those guys, the doctors and the training staff, when they told me I was ready to go. But obviously you want to get out there, get hit. It's just to kind of get you settled into the game. I had full confidence that I was going to be able to play this game.
I know you're still young in your career, Patrick, but have you been through a game where there's so many offensive linemen shuffling just because of injuries, the fact that you were down to the five guys that you had left, and just what did they show you in the second half where you weren't sad?
Yeah, I mean, they showed toughness, first of all. I mean, Schwartz getting back in the game, and then, I mean, all the other guys coming in and having that confidence to do what they did. And it's part of a season. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have those things. You have to have guys prepared in order to get out there and execute whenever they're called upon.
Have you
ever
throw a jump pass before?
Say that one more time.
Throw a jump pass before?
We actually work it a little bit with Coach Kafka and in the off season of kind of throwing it and getting your hit through. And, I mean, that's another big part of how I get a lot of the torque on my ball. And so they Mikko ran a great route. I had to throw it before he even broke, and he ran it exactly how I wanted him to, and that just comes with repetition. And then once you get the ball in those guys' hands, they can make plays happen.
A couple more guys. Sorry. Around Mitch Schwartz throughout his entire career. I know he got back in there and showed a lot to get back in there. Just how impressed, nearly 8,000 snaps played without missing one up until today. Just how impressed have you been with his ability to stay on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It honestly is. And you know that streak's going. I mean, as he's gone through it, and you could hear the guys in the huddle whenever they were wondering if he could get back out there, if we were going to try to call a timeout so he can get back on the field. So, I mean, it just shows to the guys that they care about that stuff, and they care about each other. And obviously they had to go get him checked out and do that stuff, but he got right back in there, and that just shows that grit. grit and toughness that he has.
You can tell why Patrick Mahomes is the leader of this organization, just answering questions. Again, it's a tough way to lose, and kudos to him for answering everything. And again, it looks like the Chiefs are just looking on to next week. By the way, Patrick Mahomes is our player of the game. Player of the game is brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. Tune in to Fesco in the morning tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. If you know the player of the game, Patrick Mahomes, you could win $25 to Topper's Pizza, and one monthly winner will win the grand prize of a $500 Mazarese Jewelry gift card. Patrick Mahomes, your AP player of the game. When we come back, we'll go through AP sounds of the game and take more of your calls. It's the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Pride Post Game Show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride Post Game Show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jade Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Post Game Show. The Titans beating the Kansas City Chiefs 35-32 as the Chiefs drop to 6-4 on the season.
Where's your Lucas locomotive guy? Arrowhead Pride loves some Jordan Lucas.
Not out today.
He played a lot today, didn't he?
Not out today. He was. It looked like he was on the back end in some three safety looks. Was victimized. What was that, in the second quarter?
Dirty Dan out there a lot. Tyrann Mathieu. Thornhill missed a couple plays.
Where they almost let off that touchdown where it looked like Tre'Davious Ward and Lucas.
I'll tell you this much. They don't want to see Derrick Henry again.
No.
They did not like tackling Derrick Henry.
Luckily for the Chiefs, I just don't think the Titans are going to make the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Right now it's time for AP Sounds of the Game.
First and goal. This is where they can do anything. I got, like, guys in the bottom of your screen. He comes back over. He's always involved with something here.
Shovel pass. Goes for a touchdown to Kelsey.
And they switched it up on me, Jim. One of those guys is coming right back under, and they're always going to do some little funny, like, handoff. Oh, throw it right here to this other guy. Handoff. Throw it to the butt right there.
Cover zero. Liz,
first and ten.
Liz.
Just outside the 10. Look at this one. A lot of air under that. And look who chases it down. Tyreek Hill with the touchdown. Blitz. Mahomes jumps in the air and completes it. Look out! Afterburner time. Hardman to the end zone for the touchdown. My goodness, sir. There's some things to look back on this one. The jump pass by Mahomes, and then somehow the rookie Hardman able to work himself free of the secondary.
I mean, watch this. Yep. I'm going to jump to buy a tenth of a second. And you know what that is? It's spatial awareness.
What could have been for the Kansas City Chiefs, the sounds of the game courtesy of CBS. The AP sounds of the game are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Should have been another Mahomes moment. The 63-yard jump pass to Mecole Hardman that gave the Chiefs a 29-20 lead. That's two scores with 12 minutes to go in the fourth. He should win the football game every time.
No question. Chiefs dominated offensively. 530 total yards by the Kansas City Chiefs. 371 for the Titans. 28-19 in first downs between the two. Penalties about even. 9 for 80 for the Chiefs. 8 for 64 for the Titans. Time of possession, almost 38 minutes for the Chiefs and 22 for the Titans. They had the ball out longer. The Titans just made the best of it.
Right, and just a lot of mistakes.
The Chiefs put Mahomes out there a lot.
On a tough Sunday. 913-576-7610. We'll go back out to the phone line. Scott, all the way in San Francisco. What's going on?
Hey, I don't know what everyone's whining about. Better team won today. They executed when they had to execute. They scored a touchdown in, like, I think, like a minute two or a minute three. The better team won. And the reality is this, is that I've been a Chiefs fan for a long time. Let me tell you something right now. I remember the days of Schottenheimer and failing with Lynn Elliott. I remember the days of Dick Vermeil and the no-punt playoff game. This is what the Chiefs have always done. They've underperformed. And the reason they've underperformed is just the lack of – it's a problem in ownership. I think the Hunts were great, and I think they were awesome people, but they just can't get it done. So it doesn't matter. It's not Reed's fault. You have this with Vermeil. We have this with Schottenheimer. I mean, we've had this in the past. This is not on Reed. It's not. Reed didn't make anyone put the ball on the ground. Reed didn't make a soft defense underperform and be scared of attacking a running back. The defense is soft. The offense is undisciplined. That's why you're going to lose games. It's not on Reed. Period. I mean, a special team can't even snap the ball properly. Give me a break. Get over it. Better team won. Live with it.
As far as ownership is concerned, and, you know, here's the thing with Clark Hunt. I'll defend this. How good of an owner would he be? He's spending as much as he can. He wants a Super Bowl ring. He right. made that proclamation on the franchise. Scott Pioli was the guy. I mean, he was a three-time NFL Executive of the Year. He went out and hired him. And then he had the gumption to go out and fire him. And let's clean house. He wanted Andy Reid. Andy Reid was the best out there. Got on a plane, flew to Philadelphia, got Andy Reid before he could go interview in Arizona the next day. Paid Andy Reid a ton of money. They're paying a lot of money. They paid Brendan Daly some cash to come over here on the defensive line. They paid Kentucky a lot of money to get Matt House out of his contract to get him here coaching the linebackers. I feel Andy Reid or Clark Hunt's done what he can and paid players. I do. I don't think this is a Clark problem. Undisciplined football, that does come down to the head coach at time with the amount of penalties.
Well, I mean,
the undisciplined stuff.
It can't be a Clark problem. It's
not a Clark problem.
It can't be because he's the owner. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
He's a hands-off owner as well.
Andy Reid and Brett Veach, I mean, they're here. Like I said, again, you lose a game, you always want to blame somebody. There were a lot of people that you could blame today. Andy Reid has to take the brunt of it because he's the head coach, and that comes with it.
Winchester's one of them, the fumble. But Damien Williams.
The defense just not being able to stop anything.
I think
at
a
the
few of the
game.
Play calls could be questioned using that timeout, not going for it on fourth and two when you're down inside the Tennessee, inside the red zone to go for two in that play. That was definitely one of them. Putting the game in your kicker's hands, the last two kicks of the game. There was certainly a lot of blame to go around. Dave Tobe having Hardman, you know, catch the ball inside the three, even though he didn't want him to.
You can reach us on the phone line 913-576-7610 or the Protein House E with a Purpose text line 69306. Continuing with your calls, Jack and OP, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'll try not to talk too long here, but, you know, it's not all on the defense, or at least part of it is on the offense.
Right.
That final possession, you've got to be willing and you've got to be tough enough to go get that first down. I felt like they kind of settled for the field goal that made it extended the lead, and we all saw what happened. But, you know, the NFL has a funny way that other teams have a knack for adjusting to things, and the rest of the NFL is adjusting to what Pat Mahomes and the offense can do. They know that they put enough pressure on them, make them spend enough time, that eventually the Chiefs' defense will ultimately fail. And then one last comment. I agreed with the previous caller. This is not a Super Bowl team, and they put a huge target on their back at the very beginning of the year, talking about how they were going right back to the Super Bowl. They had unfinished business, and they were going to do it. Well, that's the last thing you want to tell to the other 31 teams in the NFL.
I think, too, when you have the reigning MVP, with that comes a target, and one you'd accept because anyone wants to have the reigning MVP. Everyone's going to come out and try to beat Patrick Mahomes. You're going to still get your best game every Sunday, and the Chiefs have been getting it all year, and they're 6-4. Lucky to go 1-1 with Matt Moore. Here's another loss today to the Tennessee Titans, and you're going to continue to see the opposing team's best game. Like the defense should look at your team and say, Patrick Mahomes, well, he's not going to embarrass us. And you saw a little bit about today. The Titans, to an extent, couldn't do anything. The Chiefs' defense just couldn't make a stand at the end of the game.
And this was a loss that's kind of unlike the other ones. The Texans and the Colts held the time of possession. They kept Mahomes on the sideline. The Titans didn't keep Mahomes on the sideline. Mahomes ran far more plays than the Tennessee Titans did. He scored enough to win the game. That's the problem. He's coming back from an injury, did enough to win the game. But again, this was not done the way the other games have done. Now, the running the football, yes. Time of possession completely slotted towards Kansas City.
It was mistakes.
City,
it was mistakes.
Which has been different than other games.
Patrick Mahomes had 400 yards. He had three touchdowns. If your quarterback performs like that, you just shouldn't lose. That's the bottom line. 913-576-7610. Derek in D.C., how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. Four quick points here. You know, first of all, Patrick Mahomes has to wear some of this. I think we were up 10-0, and Tyreek was wide open for a touchdown. He overthrew him. That happens too often, it seems like, with Pat Mahomes. You know, going back to the Patriots game, that first half, missed some wide-open passes. That could have changed that, you know, the whole outlook of that game, but that was an issue too. Sammy Watkins, the very next play after Pat missed Tyreek, Sammy Watkins just flat drops the ball. We had a reverse with Sammy Watkins. He didn't look like he was interested in carrying the ball. And then he dropped the ball on a dime right into his lap, which was such a great pass by Mahomes. And we recovered from that. But I think Watkins needs some of this blame as well. Three, Frank Clark. It's adorable he's calling his teammates out. It is so funny he's calling his teammates out. Literally, I'd rather have Dee Ford or Justin Houston at whatever cost they were. We spent just as much as we did on Frank Clark, and he's non-existent. Literally, Chris Jones handed him a sack. His other sack this year also handed to him. I mean, he's saying non-existent this year. That might be a Brett Beach thing as well. But lastly, and I'll let you go after this, with 6 minutes to go, Chiefs are up maybe three or five, I don't remember what it was, but we had the ball. I wanted three passes. If we go three and out, no big deal. We don't lose any time. We end up running, I think, four or five plays. We get a first down, but it cut the clock down, cut the clock down. And then we end up giving it back to them. They score. We have 26 seconds left. We end up eating a timeout. We have a timeout
right
on the board when we're kicking the field goal. It's just unbelievable. More clock management. Anyways, just a disaster and a total joke. This team should probably be, what, 8-2, something like that, probably. But anyways, love the show, guys. Go Chiefs, and we'll get it back. Just rough day.
Yeah, it's hard for me to put any blame on Mahomes. He was coming out a little rusty. Yeah, he missed the pick. But you know what? He makes up for those, too. You got to bring those up, too, that jump pass and stuff like that. You got to bring up the improbable that he makes. Yeah, he missed one that he should have had, and he'd like to have it back. All quarterbacks have those passes. They want to come back. But the jump pass and stuff like that, that is outside the ordinary. The quarterbacks just don't do it. Even he does make plays to make up for that.
And he is a human being. I mean,
for 443 and three touchdowns, we'd thrown a parade for Alex Smith with those numbers.
This is, too, this, like, he took 2 weeks off, and he's starting to get used to playing with. He
dislocated his kneecap.
And you can tell he's still gingerly on it, so it is impacting him. I don't think he'll be 100%. I said this to you off the air, Jay. I don't think he's going to be 100% until next season when you can take an off season off if there's some reconstructive surgery for the kneecap to reinforce it. I think he probably ends up doing that. I think you see 100% Mahomes next year, but still at 90%, you saw today, even if it's at 90%, he's still probably the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, in his ankle. Luckily, healed up a little bit because you're talking the left ankle, you're talking the right knee. You're thinking, where are you going to push off? And he was scrambling, he was moving backwards, he was throwing. He's got such a strong arm, as Romo said. Now, Romo did point out like other couple things, and that's the defense and their alignment sometimes with the tights or the ball. What's funny is Romo seems to know things, and your defense doesn't. How does that happen?
Yeah, but he does that to every team. It's not just the Chiefs.
Well, I know. Well, Romo needs to be on a sideline.
Maybe that's
I've always said this, man.
You're right. He actually maybe should coach defense. He might actually be better than that. John and Austin, what's up?
Before I get to the reasons I was calling, I just want to address the last caller. If he's going to put any blame on Patrick Mahomes for this loss, he clearly expects total perfection from the quarterback. That is laughable.
Yeah, he guided the Chiefs down for a field goal,
yeah,
man.
You're right about that.
He did it. They just messed it up.
Binkley, I can't believe how diplomatic you just kind of took him to task. That was not what that caller deserved. He deserved to have his rear end chewed.
Well, usually anyway. I do butt in, but let him finish, you know?
Anyway,
let him finish.
Our head coach, clock management, I know we're beating a dead horse here, but it still begs for more criticism. And I think you touched on something that is definitely valid, Pete, when we think of Marty Schottenheimer. When we think of draft picks that are always mediocre, because on the one hand, we never reach the mountaintop, and on the other, we're always in the thick of things. It's a recipe to never reach the mountaintop, and I don't think we are with Coach Reed.
Yeah, it's a worthy comment. I mean, we're not talking, Bink, about a head coach who has had success in 10 years and just never got it done. This has now been for more than two decades of the last game of the season, either entering with a win and not making the playoffs or a loss.
And it's been his defense. You know, that's with Jim Johnson, it was a different deal. He's one of the best defensive coordinators ever. Andy Reid took Juan Castillo, his offensive line coach, made him defensive coordinator, relied on Bob Sutton way too long. I think they should have made this change a year ago, and this should have been year two under Spags. I don't feel that Sutton should have come back after that last Titans debacle.
No, he shouldn't have.
And Spags had a year off. He was available. Should have brought him in. This should be year number two with this defense, I'm not 100% sure the Chiefs knew what they had in Mahomes.
I don't think they did either. I don't know if they were ready for it, and it was a surprise.
They didn't know what they had in Kareem Hunt.
They, you know, we've talked about this a lot, Jay, both in offseason shows and Chiefs shows once the season has started. I mean, the Chiefs probably should have won the Super Bowl last year. If they had won the toss or if D Ford isn't offside, they probably go and do it because I think they probably beat the Los Angeles Rams. And so, again, where you're frustrated is you come back and you say, okay, we're going to fix this defense up. And you expected it just to be a lot better. And here you had a glimpse the last 3 weeks where you started to feel good. Again, it was 2-1. You were able to get this great win with Matt Moore. Why, when Patrick Mahomes is back in the lineup, does the defense not stay consistent?
That's right. Step it up. This defense is unusual. You find another team that drafts a quarterback at the top 10, and you can spend essentially two drafts on defense. That's the lifeblood of your organization. You spend 2 years on defense. I give it. I get it. Give it to this. 19 has a chance. 18, no chance. It was a terrible draft. But you had 2 years to concentrate on defense. And I get it. They went out and got Hardman because they needed to. I get it. That kind of threw a wrench in things, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
It did. And I don't even know if, you know, you talk about the secondary and wanting to improve that. They probably take a cornerback if they go in another direction there. Might have to trade up to higher in the second round to get someone that they liked. It ends up being Mecole Hardman, who, again, looks good on offense, looks to show promise, but there is about a question about whether or not he should be the current punt returner, making a lot of careless mistakes. The Chiefs lose to the Tennessee Titans 35-32. This is the Arrowhead Pride postgame show as presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. We'll take more of your calls coming up next.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs lose a bad one today in Tennessee, 35-32. Ton of Chiefs fans there. Some of the news after the game, Martinez Rankin, will find out about his leg in the coming days. Doesn't look good. He was removed from the game via cart. Emmanuel Agba tore his pectoral muscle. Our in-house injury expert Aaron Borgman says that he is probably done for the year, so that's a huge loss for the Chiefs because Agba was playing really well. He was traded to the Chiefs for Eric Murray, deal with the Cleveland Browns. This from Herbie Teope. This was James Winchester after the game. Said, "It starts with me. Let a lot of those guys down. A lot of guys work their ass off all game." Winchester and Colquitt, a key miscommunication at the end of the game. And then another interesting note is that Frank Clark is claiming to the media now he's been playing with a pinched nerve, had been wondering if he could play through it, didn't want to affect life after football, then re-entered the lineup today, started to feel comfortable enough to play with it. It still sounds somewhat serious. It is a little bit confusing because he was never really on an injury report prior to having the injury. He noted that this was in training camp on. So this, I think, may be the beginning of a story here with Clark. Not a lot of good coming out of today's loss, Jay.
No, there isn't, and you call the defense soft. I mean,
and call his own defense soft when he hasn't played the last few games.
So. Yeah, and it's usually reserved for when you could say that when you're really good.
You know who could say that? Chris Jones. And that's probably about it. Maybe Agba before he was injured.
Well, it's like the Royals, you know, and Moose in 15, you know, spurring the Royals on to win down in Houston. And, you know, he hadn't performed. Then all of a sudden he performed that year. So you can talk like that when you're right. Performing.
Right. No, I completely agree. You can get in touch with us on the Protein House, E with the Purpose, text line 69306, or call us 913-576-7610 as we wrap up the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. Gina called back. She has one more comment from Arizona. What's up?
I did, guys. Thanks. I didn't know if I got disconnected with the press conference or not, but I just wanted to ask you about the inconsistency that I was talking about. And then are you guys concerned, and maybe this is me, that Mahomes might end up being another Dan Marino because he just can't get over the hump because of inconsistencies for decades?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think you hope not. I think he's too talented that eventually somewhere along the lines things are going to click in the right direction for Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. I don't want you to look at this game and say the season is over because I think it's far from that. It isn't a good sign, and the Chiefs need to show you something better the rest of the way. There's a long way to go in this season. I don't think I'm ready to start saying that Patrick Mahomes is going to be another
Dan Marino.
Well,
I don't think Dan Marino ever had a running game. Yes, he did get to a Super
Bowl. Right.
John Elway never won a Super Bowl until Terrell Davis showed up. So sometimes you got to build those pieces. And this is Brett.
It's a team game too.
This is Brett Veach's job. Now that you get Mahomes, you got to build the pieces. Now it starts with Hardman. Here's speed to go with speed and Tyreek Hill. build this defense up. But it's your job. If you have a franchise quarterback, the hardest thing to get in the NFL is the franchise quarterback. They have that guy in Pat Mahomes. Now it is their job to build the pieces and put the pieces around him to win. Look at Peyton Manning. He got to Denver, said, I can't do this all alone. So what do? They go out and get T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib. They made some big moves on defense to shore up that side of the ball. He's like, I can't do this alone. And they go and do it. And typically good quarterbacks that win titles, they need help. They need other pieces around them to kind of carry the load whenever they're kind of having an off day. Today, Mahomes did not have an off day. He had a great day. Sure, he missed the pass, but he made up for that with the jump pass. It was unbelievable what he did. But, yeah, that's a concern. But, you know, that's on the GM. Get the pieces in place to help Patrick. That should be job number one of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And Brett Veach, the jury is still very much out. He's still fairly new at this thing, but one draft class seemed a lot better than the other. Still hasn't made a first-round pick. The Frank Clark decision right now, depending on some of the medicals even, looks a little bit questionable. Brett Veach is really good at these fringe players, these depth players, but it comes to the premium signings and the premium decisions of letting Dee Ford and Justin Houston go, bringing in Frank Clark. You look at Sammy Watkins and how this has gone, and Sammy has really, you know, for the most part, not been able to have a completely healthy season. There are inconsistent games. There are some games where he looks the part, but there's others, and you wonder why he was given that contract. And I think Brett Veach needs to nail a little bit more of these premium decisions. When it comes to your quarterback point, something to remember, too, is it takes a lot to get that franchise quarterback so the Chiefs can cross that off, but it also takes everything really working right. You look at some of the great quarterbacks in this league. Tom Brady is the outlier. You have like a Drew Brees, an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson. These are all really good, clearly franchise quarterbacks. They've only been able to get one championship. One person can win a year. It's only going to be one quarterback, and it's not just the quarterback. Everything else has to be there for you, too. They can't be on the field the entire time.
And just like the Chiefs, Mecole Hardman, great. One catch, 63 yards, touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, 4 for 56. Remember, these guys combined for 1 for 5 yards the week before. This is what makes good quarterbacks like Mahomes. You take marginal talent like that and you give. Let's think of Albert Wilson, the money he got. Almost a third of his production in one game in 2017.
Got paid.
Against the Broncos. This is what good quarterbacks do. The hardest part is over for the Chiefs. This is the thing. The hardest part is to find that quarterback. They have that. They just got to put the rest of the pieces. But it's easy to do this if that's not never easy. Don't get me wrong. Never easy, but it becomes far more easier when you have that franchise QB like they do.
We'll take the AP postgame show till about 10 after 5, so get your call in now, 913-576-7610. Joel in Excelsior Springs, what's up?
Hey, guys, man. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was really curious. We got Mahomes back now. We've got Mecole Hardman. We've got Tyreek Hill. We got Sammy Watkins. Three good speedsters. And at the end of the first half, it's like we just quit with, 17 seconds on the clock?
You wanted to take a shot.
We had our timeouts, and, I mean, we got big play Mahomes out there. Let's see what happens. But they didn't call any timeouts. They just let the clock run out.
Yeah, it probably is a case of Andy Reid maybe being a little bit too careful. You know, you have a 13-13 tie. It was kind of an odd first half. I think the last thing you want at that point is another fumble for a touchdown or something weird going on where there's an interception. Andy Reid willing to take 13-13. It was a little bit of a puzzling decision only because the Titans were starting with the ball in the second half.
That was the thing, yeah, because the Titans, that was huge. It was huge for Tennessee to get that ball in the second half. I think he trusted Butker. You know, he trusted him last week. He was the AFC offensive or a special teams player of the week. Trusted this week, but the final two field goals, just not our direction. Winchester, bad snap, and a blocked field goal. But that could be an indictment, and especially on Tobe, if the Titans indeed knew the snap count.
A fair catch by Mecole Hardman toward the end of the half.
If they did tip pitches, that's bad.
913-576-7610. Squeezing in a couple more phone calls. Vernon and Olathe, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show, and a lot of things that that my feelings about that game have already been articulated. But here's my concern, and let me preface this: I'm an Andy fan. I love Andy. He's a football mind, offensive genius. But we went to Andy football at the end of the game. We got conservative, and what do I mean by that? We were outside the red zone, and we had a 4th-and-1, and we go for it and pick up 9 yards. We're 4th-and-2 in the red zone. And we decide to kick a field goal. At that point, now we're hoping that what? Our defense wins the game for us.
Right.
Hope as a strategy don't work. And then Less than 2 minutes left, we got the ball, two running plays, go for nothing, and then Mahomes takes a loss, and then the wheels come off with the field goal attempt. Hope as a strategy don't work. We got conservative. And so I'm sorry, I got to put it on Andy. It's play calling at the end of the game. It's not time management. It's play calling at the end of the game. Got conservative, and the results are what they are.
Well, I think they got conservative early in the game. Fourth and two at the Tennessee 12, and he decided to kick the field goal. I thought they got conservative early on in this game. Second half, though, touchdown, field goal, touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs on offense. But I do feel that he does rely on that defense, and you shouldn't rely on it. After Green Bay just had 5 minutes and just took it down all the way back to their one-yard line, and beat you. To me, one game against the Vikings, I don't know if you don't have that trust yet. The defense is not in that circle of trust.
You're to a point right now, and you try to learn from each game, right? You're to a point right now with this defense, and this is just how I feel, where if you're within fourth and four, and you're either at like the Tennessee or an opposing team's 40-yard line or more, you have a case at this point that you just say, let's keep Pat out there. If Pat looked pretty good today. Again, I don't know if he's 100%, but it's somewhere between 90 and 100. That's kind of what I saw out there today. So if you're fourth and four or less at the opposing 40-yard line at this point, you may as well do what the Ravens do.
Yeah,
and just
go. Fourth and two at the 12.
Go for it at that point. Because, granted, if you do get stopped, you're in almost a punt
situation.
Here's
the thing. Here's the other thing. Two. And Ryan Tannehill did step up. But at that point of the game, you're saying, all right, Tannehill, go out and beat us. And right. Also, when you build a big lead early on, you're kind of taking Derrick Henry away from him. Like, how often are they going to go to him if they're down? Because if not, he's just going to waste the clock.
I agree. Let's take a couple more phone calls before we shut down shop here. Bobby in KC, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, I was just wanting to say, you know, to all my Chiefs fans out there, we had one bad play, really, and that was the miscommunication. You know, really held up the end of the bargain. We got a little pressure on Tannehill early, and, you know, the offense did what it always does. The defense, to me, was designed to play with a lead, not to play like in a close game. So I said good team losses. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the year. Thanks, Bink, man. Love your show. Have a good day, y'all.
All right, thank you, Bobby.
And they got plenty of experience early in the year trying to come from behind. I mean, they got off to really slow starts. It's been a second-quarter team. And the first quarter hadn't always gone their way.
Yeah.
The game here or there, but
I do look
they found themselves down a lot.
I do look at that early play in the game where they opt to go for the field goal. You're at a point where you're feeling yourself. Mahomes is back. I think you got to go there. And maybe it's a different game if it's 14-0 instead of 10-0, and then you get the touchdown where Tennessee comes within 3-10-7, and the fumble late in the game. Whatever could go wrong went wrong.
Travis Kelce just taking the ball for 17 yards, sets you up 4th and 2 at the Tennessee 12, ends up being 10-0, and that point could have been 14-0.
913-576-7610. Lisa in KC.
Oh, hello. I certainly don't blame Andy Reid.
Okay.
I think he shows – I like his attitude. I think he's a pretty good sport. They had some tough breaks, especially with the field goals. And quite frankly, I like a close game. And I love the Chiefs, but it didn't bother me that it was so close.
I do not like close games.
A little more entertaining, I guess. But
I like 10 and 14-point wins.
I think a lot of fans out there would say they'll take the blowout if they can. Kevin in South Texas, what's up?
Yeah, I'd just like to chime in on what is Pete watching? Chris Jones, I mean, the guy is horrendous against the run. I played D-line in college, man. This guy gets blown up. And did you guys notice that in the fourth quarter there, whenever Tennessee went up with that touchdown by Henry, did you guys notice the two plays? Who did they run at? They ran right at Chris Jones.
Chris Jones was second on the team in tackles, and he had two sacks, and he showed up big time in the pass rush at the end of the game. That is not somebody to point a finger at.
No. Well, I'm talking run game. Run game, the guy is a problem. He is a serious problem.
I tend to think that the only person who could maybe tackle and that you could rely on to tackle is Chris Jones at this rate. Derrick Henry was breaking everything. Ryan Tannehill at the end of the game was breaking everything.
The problem is, if Anthony Hitchens showed up with five tackles, and that's the only running back in the top, what, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. In the top 10 in tackles was Anthony Hitchens. He had 5. Then it was Thornhill, Frank Clark, Charvarius Ward, Emmanuel Ogbah, Honey Badger, Monty Watts, Fenton, Sherman, Breland, then Ragland, and then Passanio Lee. That's the problem, Pete. When you have one linebacker up there, and Anthony Sherman has more tackles than any other linebackers, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. I get it. You know, they need to start holding their gaps. They're running a 4-3, not a 3-4. It's one gap responsibility. Let the linebackers are not roaming around and making plays.
The most frustrating part is that this was a week where you thought it would be there, and it simply wasn't. After you did well against Dalvin Cook, it's just the defense can't play well for Patrick.
You're playing Derrick Henry. It should be a linebacker game.
Paul and Lawrence, very quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, say hi. This is Paul from Lawrence. I think we got to just get back to the Chiefs of old and the fans of old. You go back to the Royals of 2014. And, you know, day after the wild card, we were talking Yosted. We were using the term Yosted, and then we win 8 in a row and damn near win the World Series. The Chiefs team, they always battle. This team could easily be 4-6, not 8-2. We could have been 4-6. We eked one out over the Vikings, and we eked one out over the Ravens. And I think that in those games, you know, we knew they were tough, so we should maybe overlook this one. As fans, this is the Chiefs, this is the NFL. Every game's going to be a dogfight. We've been banged up. We got a great quarterback. And Andy Reid, I want to win the championship with Andy Reid at the helm. Okay, we owe it to him as fans. He owes it to us as a coach. Get back to having each other's back as Chiefs fans.
It's a decent point bringing up the 2014 Kansas City Royals run. It does seem, especially this year, and it's been such an odd year, especially with Patrick Mahomes' injury, where fans are up and down. It's 1 week, okay, we're back, you know, we can do this, whereas you have this disaster today, and you understand why fans are frustrated.
Yeah, you understand why they're frustrated. It's the same old thing. And the Titans had this one theme going on a week. They were asked this question, backs against the wall.
Right.
And I do think that they bought in that mentality. Vrabel really wouldn't go that direction, but all the players, you know, were talking about it. They're 4-5. They still think they're a good football team. They do have a good defense. Made that quarterback switch to Tannehill. They can run the football effectively with Derrick Henry at times when they want to, even though they were just 3.9 yards per carry with Derrick Henry coming into this game. But, you know, backs against the wall. But no game can be taken easily in this league. You just can't.
Chiefs lose.
And I don't think Andy Reid takes games lightly.
Chiefs lose 35-32. When we come back on the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, we'll give you our final verdict. That's next.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs lose, unfortunately, to the Tennessee Titans on this Sunday, November 10, 35-32. They dropped to 6-4. The AP postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. We'll take one more call. Jason in Wichita, what do you have to say?
Hey, boys. Greeting from Wichita.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Pete, just want to throw you out a quick congrats on the Sweeney stamp of approval hitting today.
Oh, thank you very much. That's important to me, yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about blame here. You know, everybody's calling in saying, well, blame this guy, blame that guy. I think it's more just kind of like you tweeted out something about there was a few plays. I mean, sure, the defense didn't play great, but, you know, the fumble for a touchdown, obviously, I mean, we won the game outside of that. I mean, there's just a handful of plays. I mean, I don't think we have to freak out as a fan base here and just say season over. You know, I mean, we have an easy schedule coming up. I mean, we go 5-1. We win 11 games still.
No, it's a good point, Jason. And losses do happen. You look at Atlanta today defeating New Orleans 26-9. There are weird losses every week in the National Football League. It could be a team that they overlooked. But again, you do have to learn from each and every loss. You hope the Chiefs do that. We'll see what Andy Reid has to say on the conference call tomorrow. But right now, it's time for the final verdict.
Order in the court.
The final verdict brought to you by Scruggs Law Firm. You deserve more than a lawyer.
Scruggs Law Firm is your local injury lawyer. Here we are with our final verdict. We'll turn it over to Judge Bink.
Well, the good news is the Chiefs are in a bad division. The Chiefs sit at 6-4. Here come the Raiders, 5-4. Chiefs play the Chargers in Mexico City next week. Not going to be easy. Which Chargers team's going to show up? The one that looked like crap with Phillip Rivers turning the ball over last week? Or the Chargers team that only allowed the Packers to have 184 total yards? Raiders 5-4. They play the Bengals next weekend. And the Raiders have a very soft schedule going forward. The Chiefs, you can make that argument as well. They should run the table, except that New England game looms large for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, I've heard a lot of blame from Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes. Listen, some of the plays calls by Andy Reid, not perfect. Pat Mahomes, to me, did make up for everything with that jump pass. He was fine. Again, this defense, you cannot allow – this defense took a major step back. When the Tennessee Titans only had the ball for 22 minutes, you had it for 38 minutes. You dominated time of possession, but you let Derrick Henry steal your lunch money. This is a problem. Why does the defense not choose to stand up for Pat Mahomes? Why do they stand up when Pat Mahomes is out? Yeah, they needed him to. But you know what? Pat Mahomes needs a defense too, Pete. He deserves one. For the first time in his life, go back and look at his high school numbers. You'll laugh. 60 and 50 points and still lost.
This is going to be analyzed all week, as it should. I think it's going to be ultimately looked at as a missed opportunity to get a win and to stay way ahead of the division. You've now opened the door up for the Oakland Raiders. What I want to keep saying is, yes, this is a bad loss. Yes, there were a lot of mistakes, but this is not the end of the world. I think everything still, because of your six wins that you've built up, is right in front of you. It is a humbling, humbling game. You can be beat by anyone on any day. It can't just be Patrick Mahomes. He had 446 yards and three touchdowns. Can somebody else step up and on the other side of the football and give this guy some help? I think that is the challenge now ahead of your Kansas City Chiefs. They have to get to the bye week with a good taste in your mouth. I am not looking at the New England Patriots anymore. I'm not looking at any games down the stretch. You're looking at one game, and that's against the LA Chargers in Mexico City. You'll win it. You'll be 7-4. You'll go to the bye week. You'll feel good about yourself. And then the ceiling is still 12 wins, which is possible for this team as long as they get their stuff together. That is your final verdict on this Chiefs and Titans game. What's coming up?
You going one game at a time, Pete?
You have to now. You have to.
Taking it one game at a time. You don't have to.
I'll be the first
You're
one.
Not a coach.
I'm not a coach, but that's how I do it. You got to go one day at a time. One game at a time. You can't look at any team down the line anymore. I mean, that's just what it is. You thought the Chiefs were good enough where they were this New England and Patriots caliber team where they could just beat everybody, roll over everybody until they get to the playoffs. It just simply isn't the case. There are too many problems with this football team. Now, do I think the year is over? By no way. I don't think the year is over at all. But a lot of problems to fix for this Chiefs team.
No, I'm with you. Many things to fix, but you know what? You're past week 10 now. You know, this is go time here, Pete. November, December, best foot forward. Not a good way to start November.
Patrick Mahomes back in the mix. The silver lining is that he had a great game. I think he only builds upon that from here. A couple of injury issues that'll certainly be problems the Chiefs have to deal with this week. You'll hear from Andy Reid tomorrow. We got a full slate for you, starting with Fesco in the morning at 6 a.m., continuing on with Show and Vern, The Drive, and then Mr. Bink at Night will have a great show for you tomorrow. Pete's Points. 7:15. Tomorrow we'll get back after sleeping on this, a 35-32 loss to the Tennessee Titans. Want to thank Nick Price for doing an outstanding job for us all day. Kent Swanson on the pregame for Jay Binkley. My name is Pete Sweeney. If you can, after this loss, have a great night.